the hurricane's passed, and now we're getting just a few clouds that are left over from the hurricane. Kind of along the subject a little bit, but not exactly. And I'm going to talk about lessons from David on relationships and loyalty. Lessons from David on relationships and loyalty. And just I feel like this Lord has for us tonight. It's not any particular thread or anything, but it has a little bit to do with helping people. And it has to do with you being able to rise up above what's natural and what most people do and become the one who causes the good things to happen and rises above what is natural to you. Lessons from David on relationships and loyalty. And 1 Samuel chapter 18. And I want to talk about how, kind of I'm going to use David, Saul, and Jonathan, all three of them, and talk about their relationship, and kind of centered on David and how David did some good things in relationship. And some of this Bible study is a little bit sad in what you have to do sometime in life, but I think it'll help you deal with people and look at anything from your nation to your family to your friends to many different your boss or whoever. And I just want to talk to you tonight about that. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And David took him that day and would let him go no more. By the way, if you look at that in that verse, it says Jonathan loved David. It's in this part of the verse. It doesn't say David loved Jonathan or was knit to Jonathan. And as you become a godly Christian, God will knit your soul to somebody, though they might not return that. Okay? God does that to people all the time. And greatness does not have to have somebody love them back. Greatness can just love. And so that's what Jonathan got his soul knit, and David returns that later, but we'll get to that later. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it unto David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow, even to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. And David behaved himself wisely and set Saul over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing and to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one to another as they played, and said, Saul has slain his thousands. Saul liked that. They sang, they're answering each other. The ladies were, and some ladies sang, Saul has slain his thousands. And Saul went, that's beautiful. I like that. And then some other went, and David has slain his 10,000s. And he said, wait a minute, let's just stick with the first line. That didn't sound so good. So they sang this song. And verse 8, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and unto me they have ascribed but thousands. That's not bad. And what can he have more but the kingdom? By the way, when you're jealous, you're not very logical. They sang a song. Okay, you're taking a little bit far there, Saul. You still are the king. What more can he have but the kingdom? Well, he could have all the armies. He could have all the wealth of the nation. He could have a position besides your armor bearer. There's a lot of things he doesn't have, but he wasn't thinking real straight. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass in the morrow that an evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of his house. Evil spirit prophesied. You can do that. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast a javelin, for he said, I will smite David into the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord is with him and was departed from Saul. A lot in that passage right there, and we're going to talk about that. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray you'd help us understand your word and understand relationships, Father, and understand how to do our part and be virtuous above other people and strong, whether people react properly or not, and to be able to handle the burdens that come with being someone who does everything that they should do, Father. And I just pray you'd help us to gain wisdom, Father. This isn't a message necessarily. It's going to be all that convicting, Father, but knowledge for those who are in your service, like it are here in a midweek, Lord. And I pray we would get the right point of view and renew our minds with your way of thinking on these different subjects. And we put them into your hand, Lord, and ask you to take all these things and make them clear to us. And if we are not thinking and doing things right in any of these areas, I pray we learn that and see that and be spoken to by your Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to give you a few points on this, some things from this passage and others in this relationship, and I want you to help you with relationships a lot in life today. Otherwise, I think you get a pretty discouraged in life's relationships, and you don't know how to handle things in different relationships if you don't know some of these truths here. Let me I have, I think, 5 points here and just out of this story. First of all, don't be surprised if you are hated by people who backslide. Don't be surprised if you are hated by people who backslide. We see, if you go back to chapter 16 and verse 13, it says, Then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. That's David. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And so you see here, David got the Spirit of God, Saul lost the Spirit of God, and Saul got an evil spirit. And in this situation, Saul lost the blessing of God, and he became very jealous of David. Why? Because David had what Saul had lost. David had what Saul wished he had, and Saul was not happy. Seeing God's presence is fullness of joy. And so he began to be very angry at David and suspicious of David, and he saw that David was doing the things that he should be doing, like killing Goliath and other things. And everyone saw that the hand of God was upon David, and Saul became very jealous of that. And if you go forward to chapter 18, where we just were, and we see this story singing back and forth in verse 6 and verse 8, and Saul was very wroth, and his saying displeased him, and he said, They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they ascribe it thousands. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass in the morrow that evil spirit from God came upon Saul. And David played with his hand. When David played with his hand, Saul would be very angry and furious and bitter, and he'd be under demonic oppression. David would play with his hand, and Saul's oppression would go away. And it was obvious what was happening there, and Saul liked him, but then Saul became jealous of him, and all of a sudden David was a bad guy. David did not change. Saul changed. And if you are godly, and by the way, he wanted to kill him. If you are godly, understand this, and it's helped me so much personally in the ministry when I understood this truth, because it helps me not to take things so personally. Those who are godly, and by the way, if you really are godly, you bring conviction on people. Salt burns, and if you're salt, and bright lights on people in darkness make them wince. When somebody backslides, I generally become a bad guy. I was talking to someone who'd wandered away from God, and I went to visit him and try to get him back to God, and we did, and it was good. But in the middle of talking to them, they started telling me, well, you know what? I started thinking that you were just doing this and this and this and this and this, and all these things that were like really not me. And as I talked to them, and they came back to church, started serving God and doing things good again, they told me, they said, I don't know why I was thinking about you. And I said, can I just tell you something about me? I said, I have a lot of faults, but one of my faults is not inconsistency. I kind of fault on the other side. I don't change much. I probably don't change much as I should. I said, if it seems like I've changed drastically, I said, ask somebody else if I've changed drastically who's doing good. Because I really don't change that much. That doesn't mean I can't, but my personality is stable. But you know what's amazing? I will become a terrible guy when you backslide. I'll just be doing everything wrong. I'll be preaching about you personally. I won't be friendly to you. You'll notice all my faults. I will do everything wrong. I'll be mean to people. I will just be this barrel all of a sudden. Now, will I have changed? Well, if you're the only one in church who thinks I've changed, then maybe you're becoming like Saul, saying, David's wicked and evil. And everybody else saying, he's playing the harp and getting demons away from you. Okay? And it's not just a preacher. I want you to know that as a Christian, if somebody gets away from God, what happens if they can demonize you and you're the person that God put in their life to help them, if they can demonize you, suddenly what they are doing is not so bad. and they feel better about themselves. That's why when you started serving God and really becoming a Christian, they suddenly put the people around you and all your family started putting you on trial and watching you so closely, trying to find inconsistencies. Why? Because if you weren't real, then they're okay. But if you're real, then they're in trouble. And so when somebody backslides, they get mad and they blame you. And so you got to accept that that's not personal. By the way, if they come back to God and you stay consistent, they'll admit to you, and this happens to godly people and people who are serving God, they'll come back and admit to you that they were wrong and they apologized to you for how they treated you and that you really weren't doing anything wrong. They were just bitter. They were just bitter. And that'll happen. That's why you got to be a friend of them and be there for them and not react to their anger and badness to you, because otherwise they have nothing to come back to. And you really have been a bear. And you really were nasty. David was always good to Saul, we'll find out. Saul was not always good to David. He wanted to pin the javelin on the donkey with him. And he wanted to try to kill him, murder him several times. It's interesting, if you just keep your finger there, but go forward to 1 Kings. If you know the story of Ahab, you know how funny this story is. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah and Ahab, God told Israel, if you do this, I'm going to do this thing here. Then the prophet said, we're going to do this thing here. God's about to do this thing. You better stop doing it. And they went and they did exactly what God said not to do. And then the pronunciation of judgment comes in Israel and they start suffering and going through plagues. And Ahab directly says to God, doesn't say the words, but he does exactly what you told me not to do. I'm going to do, because it's not really going to happen. And then God did it. And then guess what? Ahab doesn't say, I'm sorry, God, we're going through this drought, we're going through these troubles because of my sin. You know what he does? If you look, verse 15, Elijah said, the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand. I will surely show myself unto him this day. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, and Ahab said, saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou. And thy father's house, and you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and has followed Balaam. He says, I'm not the one causing this problem. This is, 2 + 2 = 4. You do these things, God's going to send judgment. You chose to do those things, you got the judgment. Why is this complicated? It's not me. I'm just telling you what God said. But the devil loves to take people who are going away from God and make them, because they're saying, I'm not forsaking God. I'm really being a good person. And you know what? They're really the bad people, and I'm really good. And you've got to take that. If you want to be a good Christian, listen, if God really uses you, you know the strange thing? Those who God is not using want to feel like they're okay. Well, God's not using me, but you know what? They're probably just faking it. They're probably hypocrites. They're probably not even really leading those souls to Christ. They're probably not even real. Hey, listen, you do not become great by cutting other people down. You don't do that. That never makes you great. And you don't need to tear down other people. And if all of a sudden all the spiritual people you know all of a sudden become mean and judgmental at you, maybe they're not becoming mean and judgmental. Maybe your perspective is getting all wrong because you're going away from God. Be very careful about that. And I'm not talking about just the preacher. It's all the godly Christians suddenly are judging you when you get away from God. Listen, they might love you and care about you, and they'll be standing there saying, we've been trying to be so nice to them, but man, they just keep getting mad at me. They're just biting everybody's head off. That's because they're getting away from God. Don't take it personally. David was doing great things. If you go back to 1 Samuel, watch what it says about David. David, remember, David's in a very bad spot. David's a young man. David is in his mid-teens probably at this time. And David was very careful in what he was doing. If you look in verse 5 of chapter 18, it says, in 1 Samuel 18:5, it says, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. Verse 14, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord is with him. Go forward to verse 30. In the middle of the verse, it says that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. David is being very careful and saying, I'm going to be very careful in how I treat Saul. This is the precarious situation. I'm going to be very careful in how I act. I'm young. I'm put in charge of soldiers. I'm going to be very careful. Jonathan is the prince here. I've been anointed king. It's a very difficult situation. I'm going to be very careful and behave myself. It says three times he behaved himself wisely. Yet Saul wanted to kill him. And so understand that when people get away from God, and I'm not talking about the unsaved here. The unsaved may be looking for God and maybe looking for you to be a good person. I'm talking about people who get going away from God like Saul was. And don't be surprised if you were hated by the people who backslide. And we see that a lot in the Bible. Sometimes kids will immediately try to demonize their parents when they start becoming under oppression. All of a sudden, your mom and dad just are mean and terrible and against you and trying to do everything against you. Be very careful if you feel like that. Be very careful. Be very careful when the people that God puts in your life to watch for your soul, when they all of a sudden all become evil and terrible and wrong, and you have bitter feelings toward them. The devil's trying to make you hate them because they are your protection. And when a wife gets away from God, boy, the husband becomes the worst guy in the world if he's still spiritual. It happens in many different areas. Number two, avoid close relationships with unstable people. Avoid close relationships with unstable people. I mean, I don't say don't have any relationships with them because you need to reach people, but avoid close relationships with unstable people. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And verse 21, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. Okay, so there's a good relationship at this point. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. I love David. Let him stay here with me. I like him. He's my buddy. He's my armor bearer. He's going to stay with me. I love this guy. He's great." And it came to pass, and the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took his harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed, and he was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So Saul at this point loves David. He was so impressed with him, and he was very proud of him. And if you go forward, chapter 17, verse 58, Saul said unto him, "Whose son art thou, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." So Saul liked him. Saul was impressed with him, and he was a great man. Chapter 18, this is our starting text, but in verse 8, and Saul was very wroth, and this saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed unto David as 10,000, they have ascribed unto me but thousands. And what more can he have but the kingdom?" Saul, relax. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass, and tomorrow the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of his house. And David played with his hands at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, "I will smite David into the wall with it." And David avoided out of his presence twice. Poor David. His dad had said, "You're going to go and be with Saul." Saul said, "I want you to be the armor bearer. You're this guy. You're acting wisely. He's doing everything." And then Saul tries to kill him with the javelin, and David goes back again. And Saul tries to kill him again. He was a great guy. He was impressed them, and now he's a terrible guy so bad that he's trying to kill him twice. Chapter 19, I'm showing you how unstable Saul was. Chapter 19, verse 9. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with a javelin in his hand. If I were David, I would play at a distance. I'd seen the javelin enough times in his hand. And what are you doing, Saul? "Oh, I'm practicing for the Olympics." The javelin throw, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with his javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence. And he smote the javelin to the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. So off he went. And verse 11, and Saul also sent messengers into David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life by night, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." By the way, his daughter was very unstable. His daughter was all over the place, protecting him one day and hating his guts the next day. Unstable people. Verse 15, and Saul sent messengers again to David, saying, "Bring him unto me in the morning that I may slay him." Go forward. Chapter 24. So Saul is, David's great, David's terrible. David's great, David's terrible. He's very unstable, and he's unstable in his actions and what he does in his life. He says, "You know what, we're going to kill the first person who eats. Oh, Jonathan, you ate?" I mean, what a dumb vow that was. He was a very unstable man. I've obeyed what God said. I killed everything. The sheep are bleeding. No, I just did what I wanted to do. He was very unstable, Saul was, and to the point so unstable, his actions weren't just little emotional things. They were life and death, huge things. Everybody has emotions that go up and down, but there are people who are very unstable. There's a big difference there. Chapter 24. David is chased by Saul. By this point, you know the story, but David is chased by Saul all over the place, and David finds a chance where he can kill Saul at this point. He finds Saul sleeping one time, and another time he finds Saul, and he says, he goes, and one time he cuts off part of his skirt. He says, I could have killed you, Saul, easily. And David at this point says, I could have killed you here, Saul, in verse 9. It says, David said unto Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered thee this day into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eyes spared thee, David's talking to Saul. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Wherefore, my father, see that the skirt of thy... By the way, he's calling him very nice, very respectful terms. My Lord, my father, he's very respectful still. You dirty, rotten, filthy, I could have... That's what we would have said, huh? Somebody tried to kill me 3 or 4 times, and he's chasing me, and I had to leave my home and was running around the wilderness for a long time. If I don't kill him, I'm not sure I'm going to say, my father, my Lord. I'm not... I don't know, David is better than a lot of us were. And... Verse 11, moreover, my father, see that the skirt of thy robe is in my hand, for that I cut off thy skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee. Yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge thee of me, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. And watch what Saul says. And it came to pass, verse 16, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is it this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And then he said unto David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed me this day how thou hast dealt well with me. For as much then the Lord hath delivered me out of thine hand, thou killest me not. For if man find his enemy, let him go away. Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done to me this day. And now I know well that you'll be king, and you're good, and swear you won't cut off my seed after me. And David said, I won't do that. In verse 22, and David said to Saul, and Saul went home. But watch this, verse 22. But David and his man got them up into the hold. You know what that means? Saul said, David, thank you so much. You're a good man. God's blessed you. It's obvious you don't want to kill me. Everything's fine. Just promise me. I know you're going to be king someday. Don't kill my seed. Everything's fine between us. We're buddies again. And he said, I'm going back home. I'm not going to hunt you anymore. And David said, praise the Lord. And he went to a soldier and said, we're not going back to Israel. Saul is unstable. I'm going back to the hold, which is their hiding spot. And we're going to stay out here. I know the piranha says it's not going to bite me anymore, but I'm not going to stick my hand back in the water. That's a very wise thing for you to do in life. Very spiritual thing. When somebody is unstable and they repent, great. But that does not mean you should trust them. Be for them. Be happy about them. Praise God. Support them and everything else. But you know what? If they had a problem stealing money a whole bunch of times and they ask if they can borrow your wallet for a day. If they had a problem with drugs and they want to borrow cash again. You love them, you're for them, you believe in them, and you can say all that stuff. But you know what? Be wise also. And David was very wise. Why? Because guess what happened again? Saul went on the war path against David and tried to kill him again after this. When it was clear David wasn't trying to kill him. Chapter 26. Verse 1. And the Ziphites came unto Saul and Gibeah, said, doth not David hide himself in the hill before Hachaliah, which is before Jeshimon? And Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. He's doing it again. He was unstable. David's good, David's bad. David's good, David's bad. Listen, I don't think most of you do this, but boy, do you and I ever see this a lot with people, don't we? They're in a harmful relationship. They told me they're sorry. Good. I'm glad they're sorry. You're not getting back with them again, right? They love me. They're good now. How many times has it been? 17. I mean, just... I have a lot of unstable people that I am dealing with right now. Okay? Those are not my close companions. I love them. I want to help them. God bless them. But they're not who my kids are getting around all the time. They're not who are my best friends. They're not who I spend my spare time with. They're who I minister to. You know why? Because they're not stable. Unstable people get unstable people around them. Do not start off a relationship and marriage like this. If she's swinging the frying pan one minute and she's loving you the next, she's not the one. Everybody gets emotional, but emotional is not unstable. They quit smoking one week, start smoking again the next week. They're doing great one week and they're miserable and suicidal the next week. Hey, we love those people. I got a message in my phone from one of those people right now. I could let you listen to it. Unstable. I can show you the emails I have from people like that. I love them to death. But you know what? They are not people to enter into a close relationship with. And David said, great, Saul, I'm glad you're not going to kill me anymore. Awesome. We got some business in the wilderness, though. I'm not going to come back to Israel right now. You know, people get unstable people around them, and it is week to week, jail, soap opera, hate, battles, separations, kicking out of the house, calling the police. You don't need that in your life, folks. This world's chaotic enough without surrounding yourself with chaotic people. Love those people and don't hang around them all the time. They will bring soap operas into your life. And you know what? There's enough soap operas in the problems of life without you inviting them in. Boy, and by the way, because they're so unstable, they don't have their own place. Listen to me for a sec. Please listen to me on this. Because they're so unstable, they never get to stay in the same place very long. And guess what? They're going to come to your house and ask if they can stay with you. Love them. Be their friend. Be their best friend in the world. Now, don't hang around them. A friend is I care about you. I'm going to be there for you and help you. That does not mean you're hanging around them all the time. Don't bring them into your house. They will cause instability in your house, and pretty soon the apartment manager is coming to your door. Or pretty soon the police are coming to your door at your house. You do not surround yourself with unstable people. Love them and be there for them, but do not make that your regular diet. Are they nice then mean? Are they delivered from their sin and back in their folly? Emotional is okay if it's, you know what, I'm just kind of down today. But emotional of, I don't want to kill myself today. I'm so miserable. Hey, man, it's great. Let's go spend money. You don't have any money, do you? I'm just feeling so great. Let's just spend it all. That's not what you want around you. In a spouse, in best friends, in anything. You don't want unstable people. You don't want that. The direction of the life. Are they serving God this month and next month or off into sin again? That's unstable. That's unstable. They go to church real faithfully for a month and don't go to church real faithfully for a month. That's not the people you want to be best friends with. Do not make your ministry your friendships. Okay? My ministries aren't my friendships. I love ministering to people, and I love seeing them get stable. But those are not my friends. My friends are stable people. Your friends should be stable people. Find the people who come on Thursday night. Make each other your friends. These are stable people. It's not. Do you not be nice to the people on Sunday morning that only come on Sunday morning or come once every month? No, be nice to them and love them, be their friend. But do not have close relationships. David and Jonathan were very close. David and Saul were not. Jonathan was awesome. So he's close friends with Jonathan. Number three, choose carefully who your soul is knit to. Let's go to chapter 18. Choose carefully who your soul is knit to. Very important here. Choose carefully who your soul is knit to. Chapter 18, verse 1, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And verse 3, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Listen, these two became, and notice the phrasing, God phrases things very carefully. He says their souls were knit together. Imagine two pieces of material or two things and knitting them together. They were tied together. your soul will become knit to people in your life. It'll be people you hang around, people with common interests, people who you have fellowship with, different things. But you will get your soul knit to people. You need to be very careful who your soul gets intertwined with. You know why? Because if you're intertwined and knit together, if they do this, you're going with them. And you have people in your life that they jump off a cliff, you don't want to jump off with them. You need to have your soul knit to people. I really desperately want my children to find good, stable friends and be knit to them. Godly friends. Very carefully do we pick. That's why I pick who my children hang around. Because that's who their soul's going to get knit to. And I don't want them knit to unstable people. Do they get around unstable people? Yes, they do on Sunday. They do during the week. If we take them to visit somebody or something, they get around those people. But I don't want their soul knit to them. And that's what your spouse is, by the way. Be knit to the right people. Be very careful who your soul gets knit to. Find the Bible says a brother, a friend loveth at all times. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Understand that people use that about Jesus, and that's fine. But that verse is not talking about Jesus. It means that you'll have friends that'll stick closer than your brother. A right kind of friend you'll be knit to. And you know what? I thank God when somebody grows that point where I can become knit to them very deeply. And you want to find people like that. But choose who those people are. Keep their heart out of all diligence. People you're knit to can pull you anywhere. And when somebody your soul becomes knit to leaves God or does terrible things, it will devastate you. That can still happen even though you're careful, but it won't happen very often. And you'll be knit to other stable people so it can keep you from going off the cliff. But if you're knit to a whole bunch of unstable people or just one unstable person, by the way, if you can watch this in people's lives, and I don't think any of you are doing this, but if you can watch this in people's life, bad people will try to isolate you from everybody else and knit you just to them. Really bad people. And what will happen is they will get you not to talk to your family anymore, and the best people in your life will help you. They'll isolate you, and they'll draw you into a cave of life where it's just them, and you rely on them, and they will abuse their things, and those are what abusers do. Be very careful of people who want to isolate you from good people. That's not who you want as a friend. And do not be very careful who you knit to. Next, be loyal. It's a godly characteristic. Be loyal. Chapter 20. Be loyal. It's a godly characteristic. Godliness includes loyalty because God is very loyal in the Bible. This is loyalty chapter. Saul's going to kill David. And finally, Jonathan says, you know what? I'm going to help David escape. David, I will not let you be killed. I care about you too much, and I'm loyal to you, and I know you're going to get the kingdom from me someday, but I'm loyal to you, and you're my friend, and I'm going to help deliver you. And he became very loyal. And David goes to Jonathan and says, what have I done? I haven't done anything, verse 1. And verse 2, and he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. My father will do nothing to the great or small, but that he will show it to me. And why should my father hide anything from me? Is it not so? And David said, I really need to rely on you, Jonathan. If I have found grace, please be very careful about this. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Verse 4, then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will do it even for thee. And they work out a plan, and Jonathan finds out Saul's going to kill you, David, and you need to escape. And he shoots an arrow and signals him in that. And he is very loyal to him. Very loyal to him. Here's a great thing. God is a loyal God. God says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you understand how loyal God is? If God wasn't loyal, he wouldn't have stuck with me. That's all I can tell you. God's been loyal to me. God knew everything about me and sticks with me. If you want to see loyalty, start in Genesis and watch the history of Israel. God was loyal to Israel through judges. That's loyalty. God illustrates it. He makes Hosea go and have an unfaithful wife and says, okay, bring her back. Take her back again because I want them to Israel to understand how loyal I am. I want to take you back. And then he sits and waits 2,000 years since they killed his son and says, I'm waiting for you. I'm being loyal. I'm sticking with you, Israel. You're still my people. God is very, very loyal. Loyalty is a great characteristic, and it's totally underrated, and it's shot down in our society. You know how loyal people used to be to their nation? How patriotic people used to be, and how loyal they were? How loyal to their family they were? You're not going to talk about my dad that way. You're not going to talk about my sister that way. Don't talk about my husband that way. You're not going to talk about America that way. You're not going to talk about my family. And they were loyal to their things in life. They were loyal. You know how loyal people were to different things? I mean, it's amazing. You know, like the first guy at the North Pole, one of the flags he took was from sorority in college. Because it was a big deal to him that he was so loyal to that group. People used to be very loyal. Loyal. But you know, we had a generation in the 60s that were anti-authority, anti-establishment, very disloyal. It's coming back to bite them, by their way. They taught their kids, you know, question authority. Don't be loyal. It doesn't mean anything. America's nothing. Your nation's this. Don't be loyal to this. And then they were disloyal to their parents, the generation who taught their kids that. Guess what happened? They turned 60 and 70. And they wanted the kids to take good care of them. And the kid said, hurry up and die. You got how much in savings? I think you need the nursing home. Come here. Slammed the nursing home, took their money. Why aren't my kids, you know how, and here's their saying, you know how long I was take care of them and raise them upright? You know how long I fed them and took care of them? Why aren't they taking better care of me? Why aren't they there for me when I need them? Because you never taught them loyalty. And they have maybe one kid who's decent, and they love that kid because that kid's loyal. Huh? Loyalty's a good thing, isn't it? How many of you have seen a family situation where most of the kids are not loyal to the parents when the parents needed them later in life? How many of you have seen that? Pretty ugly, isn't it? And maybe one kid will be loyal to the parents. Loyalty's a beautiful thing. A dog being loyal is a beautiful thing. I was reading an article about dogs. I don't remember where it was. But this guy was talking about how that he had this old, decrepit lab. He was just a nice old dog, never did much, played in the yard when he was young, and just was a regular old dog, got very old. And just after a while, he was just sitting in the porch most of the time, just kind of waiting to be fed, and would get up and walk and eat and go sit back down and sniff things every once in a while. The dog was just a very gentle dog. And the dad, the man of the house, was gone. And this guy wrote the article. He said, it was the strangest thing. My friend came by to bring me something. I wasn't there. And my wife was on the porch, and my friend walked up to hand her something, and the dog jumped up and didn't know his energy. And they were so shocked because that old dog who never did anything, was just a tired old dog, was so loyal. He thought that the man's not here. I better protect this lady. That dog was loyal all that time, just never needed to be. Loyalty is a beautiful thing. Jonathan was loyal to David. David was loyal to Saul, even though Saul wasn't loyal to David. See, loyalty can go one way. Your parents may not have been loyal to you, but you should be loyal to your parents. That's honoring them. I don't know if that went over very good. Your parents may not have been loyal to you, but you should be loyal to them. Does that mean you hang around them all day? Does that mean they're your best friends? Does that mean you trust them? Does that mean any of that stuff? Loyalty does not mean you give them everything and hang around them all the time. David was loyal to Saul, we'll see later, but he didn't hang around him all the time. He avoided them. But you know what? A lot of people in church, they'll come to church, we will be loyal to them. Their highs and lows, thick and thin. And we will be loyal and loyal and loyal to them and be there for them when they're not acting right, when they're not doing right things, when they're not nice, and they're doing bad things, we'll be loyal to them. They go away from God, we're loyal to them. When they come back to God, we're loyal to them. But you know what? We get very few people loyal to us. A lot of people we minister to have not learned good character, and loyalty is part of good character. You know what? They're even really mean to us sometimes. And you know what? When we need them, like they needed us a bunch of times, they aren't there. Then you just get them, Pastor. When they want to come back to church, you tell them, forget it. You weren't there and we needed you. No. Loyalty doesn't do that. Loyalty says, I'll be loyal to you and stick by you. God stuck by Israel. Does he condone everything they do? No. He says, you know what? I'm going to let you go into your punishment. You deserve it. And loyalty does that sometimes. But it says, when you want to come back to me, I'll be there for you. And I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. God will let us be punished for our sins and punishes for our sins, but it'll be loyal. The prodigal's father was loyal to his son, wasn't he? The Bible's full of loyalty. Well, I hate this nation. This nation, I should have got this thing from the nation. They weren't there for me. One time. And how many times they protected you from being killed? How many times your borders you didn't have to worry about being invaded? How many times has it protected your food source by checking out your food source? How many things your nation been there for you? You're going to hate this nation because you didn't think it came through for you one time? You're not very loyal to your nation. Loyalty. Patriotism is loyalty, by the way. And it's a good thing. Israel is very patriotic. There's entire psalms in the Bible about the wonderful beauty of that nation. Loyalty is important. Watch how David is, and it's a beautiful thing. Watch how David is loyal. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Saul gets killed and Jonathan gets killed. And what does David do? Time to party, boys. They're dead finally. Saul, he got what he deserved. And did he deserve that? Yep. Saul deserved it. He tried to murder David, what, 4 or 5 times? Tried to murder him. You don't know what they've done to me. They've gone and they took my this, or they stole my that, or they went and did this to me. They weren't there for me. They talk bad about me. They don't like my spouse. Yeah, wait a minute. Have they tried to murder you a bunch of times? Once David decided to be loyal to him, and you can't be loyal to everybody. You got to pick the people in your life that God gives you. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. Let's go back to 10. So I stood by him, a man bringing a report of Saul dying, and slew him because I was sure that he could not live after he was fallen. I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and I brought them hither to my lord. This guy comes, thinks David's going to reward him because Saul's dead. I got the news. David, Saul's dead. Here is the crown. Here's the bracelet. You're king now. Saul was dying, and I finished him off. Verse 11, then David took hold of his clothes and rent them. And likewise, all the men are with him, and they mourned and wept and fasted until even. For Saul and Jonathan, his son, both of them. And for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they are fallen by sword. And David said to the young man, they told him, whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And how is it you weren't afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him, and he died. And David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth has testified against thee. I have slain the Lord's anointed. And David lamented with a lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. And he bade him teach his children of Judah to use the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jazer, the beauty of Israel is slain upon high places. How beautiful are they? And he goes on and on, just lamenting the death of Saul. Verse 25, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been to thee. Thy love to me is a wonderful, passing love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the friendship perished? Verse 23, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. And in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles and stronger than lions. It's very sad, very brokenhearted. Watch this. Saul, he mourns, he makes a nation mourn, he's not happy that his enemy is dead. You know what, David, you know what he does? When he gets his kingdom established, he goes in chapter 9 and he says, is there anybody left of Saul's house that I can honor? Remember a long time ago, Saul said, when you become king, please don't cut off all my children and seed after you. And David said, I won't. Chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, is there any yet that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Here's loyalty. And there was the house of Saul, a servant whose name is Ziba. And Ziba said, there's one left. And the king said, is there not any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And he said, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And he called him. And David said, I'm going to put you in my house and make you mine. Verse 7, David said to him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." David was loyal to Saul and Jonathan both. Isn't that an amazing thing? Wait a minute, it goes deeper than that. It isn't too long before David makes Mephibosheth in his house and makes him eat with his house. Guess what happens? David gets at war against him. And David's own son's trying to kill him. Talk about a bad day and a big revolt in Israel. And in that revolt, you know what happens? This man right here, Mephibosheth, you know what he does? Turn forward to chapter 9. Or I'm sorry, to chapter 16. David is fleeing, and that man Ziba we just read about comes out there, and he brings, and shorten the story here because of time, but he brings a bunch of donkeys loaded with a bunch of food and stuff and brings it to David. And David says, wow. He's the servant that is with Mephibosheth. He's a servant with him. And he brings him all his food, and he says, wow, thank you for all this stuff. And what are the donkeys for? It's for you to ride on, David. He says, great. He says, where's Mephibosheth? He said, he's back in Israel. He thinks that it's time for his kingdom to be restored because he's from Saul, and he's going to be king again when you die. Was his loyalty returned? Mm-mm. Verse 3, and the king said, where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me to the kingdom of my father. Oh, pretty tough. We find out in the last point, worry more about being loyal and being a friend than others giving it back. If you look back at chapter, go forward to chapter 21. So you can be a friend and be loyal, though they aren't loyal back. That happens all the time. God did it to Israel for 2,000 years. We do it to people all the time as a church. We become loyal to people, whether they're for us or not. We will do that because we believe God's loyal to us. And boy, I wasn't loyal when I first started serving the Lord at all. I wasn't loyal. But when I started getting to know God, it's a godly characteristic, and you become loyal. By the way, you become loyal to your church. Well, everything wasn't just right Sunday. Be loyal. Well, everything's not just perfect at church. Be loyal. It's your church. And somebody should be again loyal to people in their lives and stand up for their family. You're not going to talk about family that way. It's my family. You're not going to talk about pastor that way. Don't talk about America that way. Be loyal. Be behind the things God put in your life. Be loyal. Loyalty is also verbal. You know what? Let me go back. Keep your finger there, but let me go back to just a passage I didn't read to you. If you go back to 2 Samuel, where we just were, chapter 9, and we'll go back to 2 Samuel 21, but 2 Samuel 9. There we were. 2 Samuel 16, sorry. 2 Samuel 16, where we just were. First, a man comes here, Abishai, comes and starts insulting David while he's walking away. David has really mighty men with him, people who killed 300 people at once. Really tough men are with David. Verse 7, thus said Shimei, curse, come out, thou bloody man, thou son of Belial, thou man of Belial. Is David a son of Belial? Did he worship Baal? No. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And by the way, false accusations, all them. Anything but. And will I deliver thy kingdom in the hand of Absalom, thy son? Behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, one of David's mighty men, to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? You're not going to talk to the king that way when I'm around. David, why are you letting him curse you? It won't take but one shot. But let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Then David said, what have I to do with you, the son of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, why hast thou done so? Verse 12, it may be that the Lord will look upon mine affliction, and the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. There's integrity. He's cursing me. Let him do it. God knows it's unjust. And God may say, you know what? David's taking that unjust treatment right. And God may get on my side in this battle. I'll take it. Yes, you can return evil for evil, or you can have integrity and say, I'm bigger than that, and then their insults are not going to make me like them. Very hard. Had somebody, how many of us, if somebody's waiting by to cut somebody's head off, how many should say, all right, go ahead. Yeah, David didn't do that. Now we'll go to the 2 Samuel 21. Remember Mephibosheth, the guy with the hard name to say. David becomes king. Absalom is killed. David's in reign again. And Mephibosheth says, uh-oh, I should have went out with David. Verse 7 of chapter 21. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. David is still loyal, though the guy was not loyal to him. Can you be loyal in your life? Worry more about being loyal and being a friend. They didn't treat me right. Forget about yourself. Be like Jesus. Take upon you the form of a servant. When they crucify you, say, Father, lay not the sin to their charge. That's what Stephen did also. Become a good enough Christian that you don't worry about everybody. Why aren't they doing this for me? Why aren't they treating me this way? Why isn't everybody doing this for me? Why isn't everybody blessing me? Why don't you say, you know what? I'm going to be a friend. And I'm going to be loyal whether anybody else is. Doesn't matter if Pastor Brian's not loyal to me. I'll be loyal to him. Boy, that would be refreshing. Doesn't matter if my spouse is loyal to me. I'll be loyal to him or her. Doesn't matter if my nation's perfect. I'll be loyal to my nation. Doesn't matter if there's a whole bunch of things. Can you be a person who has the integrity of David and all his relationships? He never let bitterness overcome him, though he's mistreated. He kept the right kind of people around him. He didn't bring himself into chaos. Love the people, help the people, be there with them, and be a friend to them. But do not let them be your companions you're knit to. Be a companion of Jonathan, but not of Saul. Love Saul. Serve Saul. Even serve him when he goes and tries to stick you to the wall several times. Be a friend, but hang around the right kind of people. Just some lessons from relationships and loyalty tonight. I hope it helps you in your life and ministry and family. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for these lessons. We can see there's a lot of just thoughts here that we see in this story, Lord. And I pray that we'd be people who had the right kind of companions, who wouldn't surround ourselves with chaos, who would be people who love people and minister to people and are loyal to people, yet do not let those people drag us down, and would find the right kind of friends. And Lord, help us to be just people who stick with people, stick with our church, stick with our nation, stick with our family. Lord, help us to be loyal people. Lord, because you are so loyal, thank you, you are. And I pray tonight you'd help us to understand these relationships in life. We pray this in Jesus' name.